Praise the Lord. Amen. I was joking around with the mixed ensemble or the ensemble earlier that after the song service alone, we can already have heads bowed, eyes closed, and start an invitation. But praise the Lord, we got some preaching coming. Amen. It's been a blessing and honor to, again, as I mentioned, to be able to just be a part of the lives of some of these teenagers, and particularly some of these young men, many of whom over the last few years, particularly this last camp, have surrendered to what the Lord wants them to do, first of all. But second of all, the honor and privilege it is to be called of God to preach. We've got a few of those men here this evening that came to me that wanted to preach for the service, and that's always a good sign. So, amen. We're going to hear from four of them today. The first one is going to be, I'm going to get out of the way. So the first one is going to be Josiah Vercellus. Come on up.
Turn your Bibles, please, to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 21. And I just want to start off by saying thank you to Pastor Parsons just for letting us do all this and like just getting the opportunity to preach you all. It's just such a great honor. And like going to the conferences I get to with my dad, I hear all these like men of faith and preachers that they say like, you know, like the first time they preached, they were 13, 14 at a Bible camp or at something like this. And like, I used to hear that and be like, no way, I can never do that. But then Pastor Parsons and my dad gave me the opportunity to do that, and I'm just so thankful to them for that. And if you're there in 1 John chapter 5, starting in verse 21, the Bible says, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, thank you for this. Dear Lord, allowing us to be here and just please be with us today. Help us to have a good day, Lord, and just please be with me, Lord, to please help me to stop being nervous, Lord, and just please help me to say the right things, Lord, and to be a blessing to these people here tonight, Lord, and please be with the preachers after me. Just help them to preach well too, Lord, and just please be with us all, and thank you for everything you've done for us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So the title for my message tonight is, what is your idol? And just something I noticed is, like, right here, the Bible says, like, very clearly, just straight up, keep yourself from idols. Like, we see in other parts of the Bible how God says that God is a jealous God, and he doesn't want us to put other things before him. And that's one of the only things in the Ten Commandments that he repeats, as not having other gods or anything before him. And that's an idol in Webster's 1828 dictionary, just to be sure. It said, anything on which we set our affections, that to which we indulge on an excessive and sinful attachment. So, like, this is saying that just, like, it's anything that we not only put before God, but just anything that we indulge ourselves in, anything we do more than we should. And I have here tonight just a few examples of something that your idol might be. And number one, it could be, like, your special friend or your spouse. Who do you love more, your wife, your husband, your girlfriend or boyfriend, or God? Who do you care about more? Who do you, when you get home, what do you want to do more? Do you want to talk to them, or do you want to talk to God? What do you do more? Yeah. Number two is your stint, or in other words, like your work. Does your job, do you work more than you, do you work for yourself to get money more than you work for God to give him what he needs? And this is, I mean, working is good, don't get me wrong, but you shouldn't put that in front of God and let work get in the way of church. Yeah. Next is, on the opposite side of the spectrum, your sleep. Are you just straight up lazy? I mean, if you're sleeping in church, that's fine with me, technically, because that means that you're not really paying attention to me and listening to me mess up, except for that means that you're disrespecting and being dishonoring to God. I mean, this is God's house, and when you get home, sleep as long as you want to, except for make sure that you wake up early in the morning so that you have enough time to read your devotions, to pray and talk to God. And then next is your screens. Do you spend more time on your phone or in your Bible? I mean, if you just sit there scrolling on TikTok, which I obviously don't do, I don't even have a phone, but if you just do that constantly, and you don't ever have time to read your Bible, I mean, is that your idol? Is that what you worship more than God? What about TV? Do you just sit there watching movies or watching dumb Netflix shows? I mean, I don't know what you do, but, like, you shouldn't put your screens before God. What about, like, the first point? What if you're just sitting there texting your boyfriend or girlfriend just constantly, all the time, doing that? And next is your stomach. I mean, do you just gorge yourself, always eating, always thinking about food? I mean, if you couldn't already tell, that's kind of sometimes something that I deal with. But, I mean, honestly, that's just, you shouldn't do that. Do you spend more time praying or eating? I mean, do you care more about feeding yourself physically or feeding yourself spiritually? I mean, at that point, do you even pray before you eat? Do you even take enough time to thank God for what he's given you? And then next is your self-love or your vanity. Do you love yourself or just looking at yourself and making sure you look perfectly on the outside, but not enough time just making sure that you look good on the inside to God? The Bible says that God looks on the inside appearance, but men look on the outside. And you shouldn't do that. Next is it your sports? I mean, do you care more about practicing basketball and making sure that you get your shot form just right, or volleyball? I don't know why you would do that, but like playing volleyball, do you spend more time playing volleyball or God, with God, like reading your Bible and praying and talking to him? I mean, that's just, the Bible says that physical exercise does the body good, but you still shouldn't put that before God. It clearly says that it does little good. Like, it acknowledges that it does good, but you still shouldn't put that before God. Next is your skill, like your talents. Do you spend more time making sure that you know how to do something good? I mean, do you use your talents for yourself to get other people to draw the attention on you? Or do you use it to please God and to give the attention to God? I mean, this is what God gave you those talents for, is to please him. Amen. That's why he made you in the first place, is just to give honor and glory to him. I mean, really, when it all comes down to it, you're just pleasing yourself. I mean, we tell this, like, y'all tell this to your kids, and it's right. There's two choices on the shelf, pleasing God and pleasing self. Honestly, we do that too. Like, it's not just the little kids that acknowledge, oh, I want that toy, I'm going to take it. It's us too. We put other stuff before you as well. Good. And sometimes these things get in the way of the one thing we really should be worshiping, which is our Savior. He made us. He created us. He gave us all these things that we have. Should we really waste all the things that he's given us on something else? Something so small as, like, for instance, your screens. So your screens, your food, anything like that. You shouldn't do that. That's just, the Bible clearly says that you were made to give glory to God, not to yourself, not to your boyfriend or wife or girlfriend or husband. Any of those things, God said clearly that he needs you to use that for him. And, like, if you're not saved, if he isn't your Savior, I mean, get that right. Like, you need to get saved. Because hell is real and heaven is real, and hell is very bad and heaven's very good. Amen. So really, you need to get saved, and if you're not and you've been being convicted about it, you need to talk to someone. Talk to my dad, talk to my mom, talk to pastor, talk to somebody. Just get over with. You need to get saved. And honestly, I'm really sorry. I went through my points like way too fast. I was really nervous. I was rushing. Well, also, the next preacher, Marcus, this is just something you need to know. He is the only rider in the past 6 years that is still on our bus that was here before we even got here. He's the last original rider of our bus. He's the only one. And now he's up here preaching. I mean, like, a few years ago, he would be too nervous to do that. Like, he would be too nervous to what he does now. He leads singing on the bus sometimes. I mean, he would never do that. So just listen to him. He's a great guy, and just... See, sometimes you put these things before God, and then not only does that stop you giving glory to God, but when you don't give glory to God, other people like Marcus, you don't invest in them, and they don't get the opportunity to do this, and you have no idea how many souls Marcus is going to lead to Christ, and those people that Marcus leads to Christ are going to lead to Christ. I mean, it's just a chain reaction that you don't know how long it will go for, but it doesn't really matter. That one soul is worth it all. Amen. So, good night.
Yeah, that's good preaching, amen. It's convicting, too. Amen. He already mentioned our next preacher, Marcus Jeanty. It's a blessing to have him here. He is one of our bus kids, and it's just a blessing to see how the Lord's worked in his life, recently going to the school as well. He hasn't necessarily answered a call to preach, but we'll see if the Lord's calling him or not. But Marcus, I know you're nervous, so come on up and preach.
I'm really not good at talking to pretty people. I'm terrified right now. But, well, the first thing I want to say is, what Josiah and Brother James said, I'm standing proof of the bus ministry. Like, there's so much people in this very church sitting down in the pew that invested in me so much times. Brother James here, every time I would thank him, he would say, I'm sorry. Yeah. He would say, it's just God's work. Because I can't do this. But I'm just so thankful for people that invested in me through day to day. Brother James, Miss Heather, people on my bus, my school. If it wasn't for Brother James, I wouldn't even be here. Well, I'm sorry, but I just want to get to the prayer. Please bow your heads and close your eyes. Lord, I pray for this service, Lord. I pray for my message, Lord. I pray that you calm down my heart, Lord. I pray that I can show a message for you, Lord. Show how much you worked for me, Lord. I'll pray that I don't preach myself, but Lord, I preach you. I preach your word, Lord. I can do all for you, Lord. I pray that you bless me. Do anything you can, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. I'll read it out for you. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him shall not perish but have everlasting life. What I'll be preaching about is God's love. It's one of the things people don't really realize, but it's one of the most important things in the Bible. It's the most important things in my life, in my testimony. So many people I know, this very church, everybody here, I'm thankful for every single one person, every person in this church. The amount of unconditional love I was given is such a blessing for me today. I've been going to church so much, my parents think I'm doing something else. it really is. But it's just the fact that what Josiah said, it's a chain reaction. So much people done stuff for me. I want me seeing that they're doing it for the Lord. That makes me wanna equally give out what they gave to me and give out to you. Because the Lord and everybody here, my friends, anybody here, everyone. I just wanted to let y'all know, y'all are a blessing to my heart. I'm praying for you. I'm thinking. So, my first thing is the greatest thing I've seen is my Lord's love. I'm not that well versed in the Bible, but the one thing I understand truly is my God's love. In the Bible, it talks about my God's love. He does so much things just to get a little bit out of you. You sin against him every day. We sin against him every day. We deserve hell, but he died on the cross for us. And as much as I love everybody here, I don't think I'm going to give my life. I'm pretty sure I can point to somebody. They're not going to give their life, willing to give their life. That's only a person that's truly holy and that loves you can do that. And that is my God. And that's my God. You don't have to turn there, but John 15:13. You haven't turned there. I'll read it out for you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. The Lord, the Lord is true love. For a man to get ignored every day, but that doesn't stop him. He gives so much to you because he loves you. He wants nothing more than to love you, care for you. He died on the cross for you, laying down his life. That's something. I'll use my different paper. I'll tell you a little bit about me. Love is the biggest thing on me because I grew up without my parents. My mom died when I was young, and my dad died when I was five. I didn't grow up with the right type of love, but there was people that still cared for me. My stepmom, she may not be here, but I care for her. She lets me come to church every day, so I'm grateful for her. It's amazing how the Lord works, because I'm not good at this at all, but the Lord has talked to me. The Lord talks to me every day. So it just pulled me to here. I just want to show my love. The greatest thing I've seen. Well, I already read that part. Sorry. One of the last words. Oh wait. All right. During Jesus' crucifixion, one of the last words he said is, "It is finished." It just supports what I said about him dying on the cross for me, for everyone here. Sorry, I just need to clear my head. I'm going through my things too fast. But the fact that he died on the cross for me is just weighs so much for me. He done so much things for me. I'm grateful. I can come to a place where people love me, care for me every day. There are people that I love. I'm sorry. I'm not good at this. But I was gonna say one more thing and then I'll sit down. Since the Lord died on the cross for me, everyone here, losing your life for somebody else is not a small thing. There's people in this very world that end their lives every day just because they don't feel loved. All they have to do is go to this very book. They'll find true love. And the fact that Jesus died on the cross for me, for everyone here, that takes true love. And everything I do, I try to do for the Lord. I'm not perfect. No one is. But the fact that I'm here right now is living proof that my Lord lives. Amen. Well, I'll sit down now. I'm not to get this. Thank you for having me. This is y'all a blessing for me. I'm praying for y'all.
Amen. Amen. Well, that's a special blessing there. People wonder why we have these programs and the campaigns and all these things. That's why. Why do we run buses? And no matter what, rain or shine, why do we run buses? That's why. All right? Because there's souls out there in need of a Savior. And then the chain reaction that comes from that and everything forth. Our next preacher is going to be Francisco Ramirez. You've heard him before, but it's a blessing to have him come up again. Francisco, going to come up.
All right, church, please turn to your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And I just want to start by thanking Pastor for letting me do this, and Brother Vercellus, and for the church. And I just want to say this out there. I want to thank God for everything that he's done in my life and giving me the opportunity to preach to you. And I just want to start off with a word of prayer. So please bow your heads and close your eyes. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for everything that you've done. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for all the preaching that was preached. Lord, help us, Lord, to keep it to our hearts, Lord, and to use it in our lives, Lord, and to apply it to our daily Christian life, Lord. And I pray, Lord, for Noah as the next preacher, Lord. Please, Lord, calm his nerves, Lord. And please, Lord, calm my nerves, Lord. And please help us, Lord, to honor and glorify you. And please, Lord, help that not be me speaking, but through you, Lord. And just now pray, amen. So 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 7, it says, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perish, though it be tried through fire, might be found unto praise, unto praises and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So I want to look at the first part of that sentence. It says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perish. So many times in our Christian lives, we are faced with the trials, and there can be multiple trials in our Christian's life, and sometimes we can handle those trials, and sometimes we can't. So we always have to put our faith, because this was called a trial of faith, and we got to put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are multiple, like I said, the multiple trials of faith that can come into our lives, and I just want to list some of them, and there's not all, but I just want to list some. Number one is health, and as we heard during the prayer request, that there's a lot of people who are sick, who need help, who need touching and healing, and sometimes it's us and sometimes it's others, and it's a good thing to pray for them, to touch them, for God to touch them and heal them. And we can always find peace and comfort through the trials of health. John 16, verse 33 says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace." And then it finishes that sentence. And it says, In the world you should have tribulation, but be of a good cheer. I have overcome this world. So we look at the first part. It says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me," speaking of Jesus Christ, "that we might have peace." So the only way we can have peace, true peace, is through Jesus Christ. And the only way we can have that is by being saved. And it says that sentence, "In the world that we should have tribulation." God is always saying that in a time of our lives, in a time of Christian lives, we will have tribulations in our lives, whether it be big or small, but we'll always have to put our faith in Jesus Christ. And it says, "But be of a good cheer." Sometimes in our Christian lives, we are faced with trials, but then we get discouraged, we get angry at God, and sometimes we get mad at God and not taught to him, to not read our Bibles. But we shouldn't do that. We should always have a good cheer. And it says, "I have overcome the world." If Jesus has overcome the world, then he can overcome anything. Amen? And he can overcome this health. And if you have peace, then you should also have comfort. And 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3 and 4, it says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who so comforteth us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them that which are in trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted by God." At the end of verse number 3, it says, "The God of all comfort." God is many things. Like Marcus said, God is a God of love. But God is also a God of comfort. And God will always be there for us to comfort us. And it said, "Who so comforteth in our tribulation," talking about God, "will always comfort us in our tribulations." And it said that we may be able to comfort them which are in trouble. So God has given us, God has comforted us through our trials, and God will give us the ability to comfort others in their trials. And and the second thing that people will have a trial is with money. And now some people trial with money, and sometimes we are trial by whether it be little money, we have no money, or whether someone steals our money. Now, if someone steals your money, that's up to you. I don't care. Go take it back. Bam. Okay. Okay. Sometimes, sometimes we get a fear of whether our money is gone. And sometimes, we get worried of whether we have food on the table, whether we'll be able to pay the bills, or whether we'll be able to just take care of our family. And one of the things we should always pray for when that happens is wisdom. Wisdom of how to use our money, wisdom of understanding of what I need to buy, what I don't need to buy, what is this used for. And God will always provide. Matthew 6:33 says, But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. It says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God." We should always be seeking first the kingdom of God. Because after we seek the kingdom of God, it says that all these things shall be added unto you. They can be talking about money as well, and health and all these things that we need. If we seek the kingdom of God first, he will add all these other things to us. And number 3 is our trial with others. And I know some people who have a trial with others, whether it be a situation between them and another friend or between them and an enemy. And, we just always have to go to them, whether it be if they're in the wrong, then we pray for them to understand that they're in the wrong. If we're in the wrong, we should seek forgiveness and pray for them. And, it says that, Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgive one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So as Marcus was talking about, you know, God is love. God died on the cross to forgive us of our sins. So if we are to be Christians, which is Christ-like, and God has forgiven us of our sins, then we should forgive others of their sins. No matter if they're mean to us, if they're mad at us, if they're angry towards us, if they do us wrong, then we should do them right. And some of the trials of our lives can be easily helped with prayer. Prayer always works. And the Bible says, you know, you have not because you ask not. And sometimes, now, it doesn't mean like you ask for money and he gives it to you. But, you know, sometimes all we got to do is ask and God will always provide and deliver us out of that trial and be there with us. Another one is reading your Bible. Reading your Bible, just pray, like, before you read your Bible, pray, God, show me something that you want me to learn. Use me through this. Apply it to my life. And the last thing is having faith. Again, it was a trial of faith. And there was more to the passage, though it be trial, though. More precious than gold. And gold is pretty precious, okay, but this is talking about how, like, you know, though it be tried by fire, you know, it's just temporary. Gold is only temporary, but the trials of our faith is much more precious, it's everlasting. And might be found praises and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Okay, and verse number 8, in whom we have not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye have seen him not, yet believing, yet rejoicing with joy, speaking with full of glory. No matter how the situation ends in our trials of our lives, we should always give honor and glory to God, no matter if it be our way of understanding or God's way. And it talks about, you know, in whom we have not seen, ye love, in whom, though we have not seen him yet believing. It's talking about God. You know, we haven't really physically seen him. We haven't really seen him with his eyes, but we see him through other people's lives, through our lives, through his works. And you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. No matter how the situation ends, we should always give honor and glory to God. And yeah.
Our last preacher will be Brother Noah Hipley. Brother Noah, going to come on up.
I want to thank Mr. Vasilis for just letting me get this second opportunity. When this was first brought up, I wasn't too sure if I was able to preach again, but the opportunity was brought up to me, and I was like, oh, I want to do this, like, immediately, you know? So, I chose this message because it was just how this year has been. It's just been nothing but testimonies to me, just hearing how God has worked in people's hearts and lives and the decisions that's been made, and it just really showed me that, you know, this stuff just don't happen. And like with Josiah, he preached that, you know, God is number one, and Marcus preaching that God is love, and Francisco that preaching God is comfort, and I want to preach that God is hope. And if we can turn to Romans chapter 15, verse 13, and I'm going to pray. Is everybody there? All right. Bow your heads, close your eyes. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for this night, Lord, and just bringing everybody here tonight, Lord. I pray that you give me the strength and courage and the right words to say for you, Lord. And I just pray to keep us all safe. I pray that if anyone in here is sick or hurt or anything, Lord, that they make an appointment with the great physician, Lord. I pray that we all leave here, Lord, with just something heavy and good on our hearts, Lord, and just make a decision, Lord, whether if it's at the altar or just in our hearts, Lord. I pray that you just keep us all safe and put a layer of protection over us, Lord, that's physical and mental and spiritual and emotional, Lord. And just thank you for your love and everything you do for us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So Romans 15, verse 13 is, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace, and believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And this is one of my favorite verses, just by the way it's saying, you know, and it just, like, God is hope, and, like, there's hope in life, there's hope in the future and overcoming and changing and hope and healing, you know, and God can and will do that if you let him. And you don't have to hold on to those, like, anything that's holding you back, and, like, you don't have to suffer anymore. You don't have to be scared anymore. And what I want to show you tonight is, like, 3 points on how you can have hope. And if you can't, turn to Romans 8:18. But first, the first point is getting saved. And knowing that, like, it's just a comfort feeling, you know, that I'm saved for eternity. And that just, that's just hope. I have something to look forward to. I don't have to live in fear every single day. You know, even after I was saved, I had a moment of like, man, I'm going to die one day. You know, my body's going to go away, like, kind of thing. But I'm like, oh, but I'm going to have something better. You know, I'm gonna see the people I love again. I'm going to, you know, worship God and, you know, see everybody that I've wanted to see. But Romans 8:18 says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." And that's also one of my favorite verses, just because everything that you go through in life, it's not going to compare to what God has for you. And, like, no matter the pain or anything, like, if only you could imagine, like, what's in heaven, like, just knowing that there's no more pain and suffer or tears or anything, it's like, man, like, you just want to get there already, you know? And, like, I just think that if you want hope, you should just get saved, you know? And to know that your life is in God's hands after that, it's, you're just taken care of from that moment and for eternity. And I'm very thankful, because that's one of the best decisions I've ever made, and I'm sure it will be for you too. And the second point I want to make is reading your Bible. And turn over to Jeremiah 29. Verse 11 and 12. And it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then ye shall call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you." And, like, another thing, it's like, knowing that a lot of bad things happen to us, it's, we can never blame God for it, you know? And, like, just, it's just God's love. It's just, it's a lot, you know? And, this Bible would take you farther than you could imagine. And, like, you know, I've seen, you know, you could look at a motivational quote or, like, a video or something, you know, it just don't compare to this, you know. And, you know, like, reading this Bible, like, I never understood, like my dad, he still does. He wakes up 4 a.m, and he'll sit and read his Bible for, like, hours, you know, till he has to go to work, and I'm just like, I can't do that, you know. And it's like just seeing people get so excited over verses and just scriptures and like messages and everything. I'm like, what is this kind of thing? And I never understood that until now, kind of. And it's like, I'm just happy with what God has done in my life, you know, and it all just started with hope and faith. And reading your Bible is just something you need to do on a daily, morning and night, even evening, just something to get into, you know, and just very thankful for this. And lastly is your surroundings. And I want to turn over to Proverbs 13:20. It says that he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. And I want to turn over just a page over to Proverbs 11:14 that says, "Where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety." And, like, I don't how can you have hope if you're surrounded by the wrong people? You know, being encouraged to the wrong path, the wrong things, the wrong ideas, whether if it's internal or out there, you know, and like we just need to surround ourselves with good godly people and just who can push us and lift us up, you know, when nobody can and when nobody's not there, and just very thankful for the friends I've had, you know, Francisco and Marcus and all the Vercelluses and everybody here. They've really molded me into a shape that I'm like, whoa, I can't be even more thankful for them. And I'm just very thankful for the friends that I've made, and it's only because of my surroundings. And what you do for them is what you can also get back. And if not, you know, just also think of like Jesus, of everything he did for everybody, you know, he still did it even with no return. And, you know, there's just hope trusting in God, like in Luke 1:37. You don't gotta turn there, but Luke 1:37 it says Luke 1:37 it says, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." You know, no matter what you're going through, there's always hope. And it don't matter the situation or anything, you know. I'm sure there's many of us in here that have been in a dark point in our life, and we probably didn't have hope, or it was hard to have hope. And, you know, I'm sure this is the only thing that got us out of all that. And here I am standing today and preaching God's word and everybody else here, and just very thankful, you know. And there's hope, you know, and God's the way, and just very thankful. Thank you.
Amen. Tonight the messages have been good for us. Amen. And now we need to do business with God. Let's stand to our feet tonight as the musicians come tonight. I hope that you'll do business with him. And there is hope found in the Lord Jesus Christ through salvation. There's not only hope found in him, but it's found because of God's love. God sent his son to die for us on Calvary and to pay our sin debt. What a blessing it is to realize that we don't have to live our lives as so many do, turning to idols. We can turn to the one true God in the form of Jesus Christ and ask him for salvation. And tonight, if you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, the invitation is open to you. We invite you to come and receive the hope that can only be found, the peace that can only be found, the joy that can only be found in Jesus Christ. As the music plays and Brother Burt gets ready to sing, if you'll make your way to the front, I'll meet you down there. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. If you're one of God's peoples and maybe that first message struck you and there's been some time, you've been saved, but you're giving way too much time to other things other than the main thing, the Lord Jesus Christ, maybe you need to come and speak to him. Tonight, if you could come as Brother Burt sings, I'll meet you in the front. All